You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 474 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland. It is very late into the night here on this Saturday evening into Sunday morning, a rare weekend podcast. When the Hawks are in action on Saturday night, it sort of demands that we have a pod for Sunday morning. So hopefully you will all had a chance to watch this Hawks-Pacers game. I was not watching live, but now it's, and that's why it's so late. I actually had some family stuff to take care of this evening. But here we are talking about what actually became an 8-point loss for the Hawks by a final score of 97-89. Atlanta, by the way, did cover the spread, which is usually a pretty good indication of how the team played. I will say there are a few caveats along the way, though, and some things that you need to be thinking about big picture in this game. One of which is that John Collins returned for the first time all season. Obviously, he was actually injured early in October, so has not played for about 6 weeks now. The Hawks definitely took their time with John Collins. That was announced earlier this week that he was probably going to be playing. He was listed as probable and then upgraded to fully available on Saturday morning. Collins played only 12 minutes. Not a huge surprise to me that he did not play so much in this game. We'll talk about how he looked, but just nice to see him out there. Obviously, he did not start, and that'll be something that we'll probably see him do in the pretty near future, I'd imagine. Probably just needed to have some conditioning and stuff because he has not played a lot, and the Hawks, I know, wanted to have him practice more in full than he actually did. The Hawks haven't really had a full practice on this road trip. So one of those things that was not a surprise to see him not in a major role here, but just nice to see John playing basketball. Also in this spot, Dwayne Dedmon returned, and the bigger thing in terms of the outcome of this particular game was that Victor Oladipo, Indiana's best player by a wide margin, got hurt about 5 minutes into this game and did not return. He was actually listed as questionable coming into the game, ended up starting and playing and looking okay, and then he got injured on a collision, midway through the first quarter. That was a huge swing in this game. Obviously Indiana still won this game, but honestly, the game, I made this comment offline to a couple of people during the game that I had seen that Oladipo had gone out. And my comment was basically, if you remove Oladipo from the equation and put this same Hawks team on the court, Indiana's probably a little bit better than Atlanta, but not really. It's one of those, like, it's almost like a coin flip situation if you put their that roster without their best player versus this Hawks roster. And I guess we probably got to see that on full display here as the Hawks were able to sort of level the playing field a little bit. They still lost by 8 points. The second half was not kind to Atlanta, which we'll talk about on this podcast, but just some overarching stuff from this game that's probably good to keep in mind as you assess what transpired. So we'll go back. We'll go sort of start to finish on this one. Obviously, the big thing early was that Oladipo left this game. Aside from that, both in the first and third quarters, Jeremy Lin came in pretty early for Trae Young. We'll talk about Young more in this game. And actually, Lin played as much as Young did, which is the first time all season when both guys were healthy that kind of happened in a game that was competitive. In fact, Lin actually played a little bit more than Young, actually by about 30 seconds more than Young, which is something interesting to monitor. Lin played better in this game, which has to be said, but something to keep in mind there. You won't see that very often, I don't think, this season, but something that did happen. Lin came in early in both halves, and that was justified. There was a nice Young to Collins lob in the first quarter, which is probably the best highlight of the night from Atlanta. There was a 19-8 run in the second quarter that Hawks gave them. Actually gave the Hawks a 10-point lead at one point in that period. I will say it was quickly evaporated by a 14-1 run by the Pacers. So it was like not like the Hawks had a lot of time to sort of enjoy that little advantage that they had. But Atlanta did finish with the final 12 points of the second quarter in going into halftime. That was fueled largely by turnovers from the Pacers, who were really bad offensively in this game, I have to say. But the Hawks did take advantage, full stop there, going into halftime with 12 straight points, and had all momentum at that point in time. I will say the halftime break probably came at a bad time for Atlanta because they were playing so well, and they went into halftime up by 9 points. The second half, as you might imagine, because the Hawks lost this game by 8 points, did not go very well. It was a 50-33 spread for Indiana versus Atlanta in the second half. The third quarter actually started out well. The Hawks scored the first 5 points of the third, prompting a timeout from Nate McMillan over there on Pacers bench. From there, though, it was all of Indiana. It was a 24-6 run from the Pacers that immediately followed that opening run from Atlanta. That was mercilessly stopped by a Vince Carter three, but that was a little bit too little too late. I will say the fourth quarter was at least competitive. The Hawks played pretty good defense in that fourth quarter. Still, it was kind of all Indiana for the most part. There were a couple of swings where it looked like the Hawks could get back in this game. They were pretty close, actually, for much of the fourth quarter, and then sort of a little mini push to get back to about a 10-11 point lead I guess, you know, middleway or a little bit later than that in the fourth quarter. And that was sort of all the Patriots needed to hold off the Hawks charge. There was an injury that took place in this game. Alex Poitras left the game in the third quarter with a left ankle contusion. It did not look good, I will say. I was not surprised watching on film that he never came back in this game. No update beyond that I've seen, at least at this point in time. But would not be a surprise if he missed multiple games considering the way he looked on that play. Poitras actually got the start here, which is something I did not say at the top. That was a change from previous games when Amari Spellman's been starting at the four. I didn't have any problem with that, and I think Poitras would actually play more than anybody else did at the four if he was available to play in the second half. You know, against a team that in Indiana that has, you know, they started Thaddeus Young at the four. It's probably a better matchup for Poitras than it is for Amari Spellman. And honestly, I think my feelings are well known on this at this point in time. Spellman playing four full time is not a great look for him or the team, honestly. So it was not a big surprise to me or a big thing that would bother me to see Poitras starting at the four. You know, long term, he obviously would not be starting at the four. But it was one of those things where I had no problem with it in the short term. And, you know, hopefully he's okay given the injury that he suffered in this game. The second half, though, was ugly, as you might imagine. You know, the big run that took place in the third quarter was sort of the death blow. But I will say, on the whole, the Hawks shot 30% from the floor in the second half and committed 11 turnovers in the second half. That's really bad in a lot of ways. Obviously, that's kind of a speech for itself. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't pretty, to be honest with you. And honestly, the fact that the Hawks lost the second half by 17 points to a team that committed 15 turnovers in the Pacers, that's pretty jarring, honestly. The Pacers were really bad taking care of the ball all night long. They committed 24 turnovers in this game, 15 of which in the second half, and to still get blown out, honestly, from after halftime is pretty jarring in the way that actually transpired. So something to keep in mind there, just for big picture stuff. You know, on the whole, this is a bad offensive game on both ends of the floor. It was pretty fast paced, which you wouldn't imagine by looking at the final score, but the points per possession stuff was pretty ugly on both sides. The Pacers only had an 89.6 offensive rating. That's very bad. They did make 40% of their threes, which was a big point in this game, and, you know, did make shots from the perimeter. With that said, they did have the 24 turnovers, which is kind of leveling the playing field, and they didn't shoot very well from two-point range, actually sub 40% from two-point range for the Pacers. Some of that goes to the Hawks, and some of that goes to the Pacers. Just kind of, it's always a balance there when trying to evaluate what actually transpired. On the Hawks side, an 82.2 offensive rating. That is very bad in a lot of ways, but sort of across the board. Poor shooting, 36% from the floor, 28% from three, only 20 assists versus 18 turnovers is not what you're going to want to do. So offensively, there really wasn't much going on for the Hawks. There were a couple of guys that played well that we'll talk about here in a second when we talk about the individual stuff. But for the most part, the offense was very bad in this game. And, you know, defensively, you know, credit to the Hawks all season long. They've been better defensively than offensively. This is a bad defensive team, honestly, which has to be said. But and they have bad defensive personnel. But with that said, they were definitely, again, better defensively than offensively in this game. I saw some people after this game sort of complaining about Lloyd Pierce and stuff like that defensively. You know, this is not the game to do that. They played good defense in this game. They held their opponent to a 90 offensive rating. That's elite level defense. Obviously, some of that has to do with Indiana making some missteps and not having Oladipo, et cetera, but this is not a defensive issue in this game. This was definitely all offense and all of the fact that they just couldn't score in this game. That has to be said over and over again. So with that said, we'll come back here in a second when talking about the individual play of some guys on the roster from this evening. But I do want to say before we move on that I really appreciate everyone that's already subscribed to the podcast. Please take a minute to go ahead and do that. If you like the show, I really appreciate a subscription and a positive review. If you like the podcast, if you don't like the podcast, please let me know that as well. But one of those things where I really really does help us in the rankings and all that fun stuff. So I've been told that this matters. So please subscribe, please download, please tell your friends and do all that fun stuff. I really, really appreciate that. So coming back after the break, we'll talk about more about the individual players in this game. All right, we're back, and let's go to the starting lineup first. This is sort of an interesting slash bad game for the starting lineup for the most part. There was one positive, though, and that was the play of Kent Bazemore. 13 points for Baze, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. He played hard in this game. Didn't shoot the ball well, 5 of 14 from the floor, but was 2 of 4 from 3. He was a game-best plus 16 for Atlanta. Not a huge surprise there. It wasn't all Bazemore, you know, driving that. But at the same time, he did play well in this game. He was the only guy that I would say out of the five starters that actually played well for the most part. And Bazemore does what Bazemore does, and he was a solid two-way player in this game. That's kind of where I'll leave it. But I don't want to go over the top, but, you know, Bazemore, after a couple of struggling games, I guess about a week ago, I think he had two or three bad games in a row. He's been back to his old self and probably been the most consistent player on this roster for the most part this season. Kevin Huerter got the start at the three in this game. I guess probably at the two with Bazemore at the three, but I guess the other wing is the best way I'll say that. After Bembry started the last game, Torian Prince missed another game here with Achilles soreness. I'm not really sure what the prognosis there is. I will be asking about that on Monday night as the Hawks are back at home. I'll be covering that game down at Farm Arena, but one of those things where Huerter didn't play well in this game. I didn't think he was terrible, but 5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal and a block. Had a couple of bad turnovers, one of which was kind of completely self-inflicted. 2 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 4 from three. You know, 0 of 1 from the line, which is kind of weird to see from Huerter, but I didn't think he was terrible, but definitely did not play well at all in this game. It was minus 15. Good to see him starting. I'm actually on board with that. I think he and Bazemore are a better pairing than Bazemore and Bembry are, just theoretically. With that said, you know, Herter's got to play better than that. If he's going to play more minutes like that, I will always err on the side of playing young guys, and that's kind of where, I mean, even with Spellman, who we'll talk about in a second, I'm okay with playing the young guys, even if they're not the best options necessarily. Huerter, I think, is one of the better sort of guys who should be playing on the wing this season, but he didn't play well in this game. That's probably just where I'll leave it there. Alex Len, 20 minutes, 1 of 7 from the floor, which is really bad for Alex Len. 5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal for Len. He actually managed to sort of, you know, compete and was plus 6 in this game in 20 minutes. I thought he was pretty bad, though, especially defensively. Did not give a couple of clean efforts, I would say, at times where he was kind of exposed in space. Offensively, he's got to finish better. There's only so much he does offensively. It's basically just catch and shoot threes and finishes around the rim. And for him to shoot 1 of 7, it's got to really kind of bring him down more than other guys would be brought down by bad shooting. And the Hawks are going to need more from Len if he's going to play more than he has been so far. I mentioned Poitras before. He didn't play a whole lot, obviously. 11 minutes, he left the game with injury, did not score, had 2 block shots though, 3 rebounds. I thought he was pretty competitive. Obviously didn't even attempt a shot, so Poitras is just kind of playing his role, coming out there flying around energy-wise, playing good defense. That's going to be what he kind of is. Offensively, doesn't really bring that much to the table, but someone who can finish plays, shoot a little bit, and I thought he was pretty decent before he actually had to leave this game. And finally, Trae Young in the starting lineup, 9 points, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 rebound. He was 3 of 11 from the floor and 0 of 5 from 3. You know, Young's shooting numbers are really, really bad right now. I mean, there's no way around that. I do think, and I said this actually a little bit on Twitter this week, that, you know, his shooting numbers before this game were really bad in January. He was down like 15% from three or so. I meant November when I'm talking about that. But the shooting, you know, the last 3 games, he's 0 of 14 from three. The Lakers game before that, he was 4 of 8. But even before that, the Pistons game, he was 0 of 3. He was 1 of 7 against the Knicks. He was 0 of 7 against the Hornets. 2 of 8 against the Heat. So the shooting is really sort of big time slumping at this point in time. You know, his finishing's been actually probably a lot better than I expected, at least definitely better than I expected around the rim, but there's only so much that can take you. I do think that some of that is having to do with the attention that he's been getting defensively from opposing teams, but it's not all of that. He's missing some shots that he has to make. I said this in the draft process. I actually think that Young was pretty overrated as a shooter coming into the draft. I think he is a good shooter and will be a good shooter in the NBA. I think the Steph Curry comparisons did him a disservice to a lot of fans, especially when thinking he was going to come in and just be this dead-eye shooter. You know, the range is interesting, and I think Trae Young has good range, but it's a situation where right now he's not an elite shooter by any stretch of the imagination. That's pretty clear at this point. I think the shooting numbers are going to bounce back. There's no question about that. But it's ugly right now. He's in a slump. And if he doesn't really have that kind of threat, at least, you know, defenses are playing him as if he has that threat, which is something to at least consider when evaluating Young. But he didn't do much to sort of contribute in a positive way in this game. Had a couple of nice passes, but defensively he's never going to be a plus. There was a couple of moments where he was kind of beaten badly by Aaron Holiday at times when Aaron Holiday had a really nice run for the rookie from UCLA. But, you know, Young, you know, I don't think he was as bad as 3 of 11 and 0 of 5 would tell you he was, but at the same time, it's not a good game for Trae Young. I think it was appropriate in a competitive game to go with Jeremy Lin for more often, and Lin closed the first half, for instance. He was just a better player in this game, which isn't a surprise. You know, dating back to the preseason, as I mentioned before, you know, Young had the great start, which definitely helped to quiet a lot of this, but we talked about this, you know, with Jeff Siegel and I, a couple of other guests that I had on the podcast, that Jeremy Lin could easily be better than Trae Young on the whole this season. For the last couple of weeks, it's been true. Jeremy Lin has been better than Trae Young. I will say, you know, Young brings a lot more upside. I am definitely in favor of playing Young a lot of minutes and playing him more than Lin, He's the centerpiece right now of the offense. He needs to have more help offensively, but there are times when he doesn't have it going, where the Hawks, if they want to win, and they're trying to win. I know there's this popular narrative that the Hawks are trying to lose these games, and I get that. There's always a difference between rebuilding and tanking and all that fun stuff. I don't want to get into that right now, but it's frustrating to me when I see fans and people come, you know, at me and other writers about how the Hawks are trying to lose. They're not. In game, the Hawks are not trying to lose. The Hawks are trying to win games. For instance, they played veterans a lot in this game. They played Kent Bazemore. They played Jeremy Lin. They played Dwayne Dedman. Vince Carter is playing minutes on this team. Like, they're not trying to lose these games. They're not very good. That's something that we knew was going to happen. But just another reminder there. But just one of those things where I get down that rabbit hole often. I probably will get down the rabbit hole often, because it's frustrating to me when fans don't understand the difference between a rebuild and what people think is like active tanking by players and coaches. That's not the case at all. They have a first-year head coach that's learning on the job. They have a pretty bad roster, et cetera. When that combines, you're going to lose. And honestly, it sort of reached a crescendo late in this road trip. Obviously, the loss by 45 points on Thursday was really, really bad, and I said as much on the podcast, but this is an 8-point loss on the road on the last game of a road trip to a playoff team. That's not a bad loss. The Hawks didn't play well in this game offensively, but defensively, they competed all game long, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll stop ranting for now. It's late in the evening, which is, I'm sure, contributing to that rant a little bit for me, but I just want to get that off my chest a little bit at this point. So we'll go to the bench and finish up this podcast. I mentioned before, John Collins looked good in this game. I thought he played well. 12 points in only 12 minutes. Had two rebounds and a block shot. Did have three turnovers. Looked a little bit rusty at a little bit of times, but was plus 14 in those minutes. 3 of 6 from the floor. Got to the line 7 times in 12 minutes. That's John Collins playing with force, as he always does. He always plays hard. I was okay with him limiting him a little bit in terms of his win and his conditioning. He'll need to get back into game shape, but there's a reason why we've been sort of lamenting the absence of Collins, because he's at the very least one of the best, you know, two or three players on this team. He's very, very good. He has a lot of talent, and just his force and his athleticism will be hugely helpful for the Hawks moving forward, especially when they have some home games here over the next week or so. Amari Spellman, 12 minutes also. You definitely will see him play less now, I think, for a while, especially because of when Collins is back, and they have Dedman back as well. Spellman did not play well in this game. I thought he was pretty bad on the whole, defensively especially. He did have 2 steals and 2 rebounds. But, you know, defensively, you just see his weaknesses a lot of the time. Offensively, he does have some value with his shooting, but it was a rough game for Amari Spellman pretty much across the board, honestly. But defensively, I thought he was probably the worst offender across the board for the Hawks. Maybe Trae Young. That was kind of the duo that was battling for that role in this game of the worst defensive performance. But, you know, Spellman did not play well in this game. We'll kind of just leave it there for now. DeAndre Bembry, 23 minutes, was 3 of 10 from the floor. Another rough shooting night for Bembry, who's been bad finishing this year. Was 0-3 from 3 as well. Did have 8 points and 4 rebounds and 2 assists and a steal and a block, so he sort of stuffed the stat sheet in the way that he often does, doing a lot of things well. Just the finishing is going to keep holding him back. That's not new information on this podcast. We've been talking about that for a while, both myself and Jeff Siegel and others. Bembry's just got to finish better. That's something he's going to have to work on. But, you know, at the moment, he's going to still have to play. He's the best wing defender of that group behind Bazemore. Probably even, you know, there's certain matches where he's better than Bazemore as well. But he's just going to have to play and create a little bit off the dribble. But Bembry's got to finish better, and that's kind of where I'll say that. Vince Carter, 16 minutes, did have 2 threes, which were significant. He had the one to stop the bleeding in the third quarter that I mentioned before. 7 points, 4 rebounds. I thought Vince, you know, did what Vince does. He made a couple shots, but just takes a lot off the table defensively with his lack of burst right now, and his lack of size. It's kind of tough to play him. And I do think at some point, if they have a fully healthy roster with Collins and Dedman and all those guys back, Carter's going to have to probably stop playing, or at least play a little bit less. You know, it probably be, honestly, for me, it's going to be between Carter and Spellman as to who that like fourth big role goes to. Because, you know, for instance, John Collins played 12 minutes in this game. I think ideally you want to be playing Collins 30 to 32 minutes a game. So that's 20 minutes they got to take away from guys, and that's probably going to come from Spellman. You know, it's definitely a combination of Spellman, Poitras, and Carter, but those guys only combine for, I believe, 39 minutes here. And if you give 20 of those minutes to John Collins or so, maybe even a little bit more than that to Dwayne Dedman as he gets back from after a 3-game absence, the minutes will be going away for those guys in the future. And honestly, if you're looking to the future, it's probably Spellman that needs to play in terms of just getting reps. He's not the best player right now. I think Poitras is probably the best player on both ends, which is kind of crazy to say because he's on a two-way contract. But Spellman is the future out of those three guys, so you'll probably see him play more often. We'll see how that looks. But he didn't play well here, and then you know Vince kind of just did what Vince does. But at some point, the cord's going to be cut with Vince playing real minutes, and that's kind of what we expected. Honestly, I think people have sort of forgotten that when he was signed, it felt like he was going to not play much at all, and then he was starting on opening night, and it was like, oh, Vince Carter, and then it's like, oh yeah, it's probably not best for him to be playing a major role on the floor. His role off the floor is very significant as a mentor and all that stuff, but Vince is going to be playing less and less, I think, and that's probably the right move moving forward. Finally, Tyler Dorsey, 14 minutes, did not score in this game. Played in the first quarter again. He was the fourth wing with Torian Prince out. That's been his role the last couple of games. He had the one game, I guess, last week when they chose to only play three wings. That was not a crazy decision, I will say, but Dorsey, you know, he kind of does what Dorsey does, but he's going to have to make shots when he's out there. That's not a new thing, but so him going 0 for 3 is going to be tough to swallow, and sometimes when he's playing, he's got to make shots. That's his best value, and that's kind of where he has to make his bones. Last two guys we'll talk about. Dwayne Dedmon played very well, I thought, off the bench. 12 points, 7 rebounds. He missed 3 games before this with the birth of his child, but 4 or 5 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line. I thought he was the best center by far in this game between he and Alex Len. It was not even really a contest. Miles Plumlee did not play, which is worth noting. Plumlee actually gave really good minutes, I will say. Prior to this, Plumlee was a guy who, you know, I think the last 4 or 5 games in a row, Plumlee has played reasonably well by his standards, to be sure. Probably better than that by his standards, but just as a solid backup center type. It's the right move to not play him, I will say, when everybody's healthy. But at the same time, it should be at least acknowledged that Plumlee did play pretty well in his in Dedmon's stead, and also with Collins. I just wanted to say that at least one time here. But Dedmon played well. Good to see him. And I think, honestly, it's time, once these guys are back and healthy and ready to go for big minutes, it needs to be Dedmon and Collins starting games. Dedmon is just better than Alex Len, top to bottom. It's not really particularly close, honestly, when they're both playing. So at some point, you want to see the best players play more, and Dedmon and Collins should be the starting front court sooner rather than later. Last but not least, Jeremy Lin played well. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals for Lin. Had 4 turnovers, which is something to keep in mind. Did have 5 fouls as well, but 24 minutes of play, 7-11 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3. He took one long 2 that he actually ended up making, but my eyebrows popped when I saw him pull up for like a contested, well, semi-contested, like 21-footer. The Hawks don't love that shot. The Hawks are pretty good about their shot profile. That's not really a good shot, but Lin did make it. He's definitely a good mid-range shooter, and I think he's just playing with more force. He's playing better. He's very, very talented offensive player. He's a better defender than Trae Young is, obviously. I know there's a large contingent of Jeremy Lin fans that want to see him play more. I think this is probably the most that you'll ever see Jeremy Lin play in a game that Trae Young does not play, is about 24, 25 minutes. And I think, honestly, in this game, they didn't even go to the two-point guard lineup, really. So there'll be nights when they decide to play the two-point guard lineup more often, probably when Young has it going more. But this is kind of the value in having Jeremy Lin on your roster right now, even for a rebuilding team, is that A, he's a good mentor, good character guy, good locker room guy, but B, he's a very, very good backup point guard. If you look around the league, there are probably only a handful of guys that are backups on teams that are better than Jeremy Lin, or at least even on that level. So it's pretty good to have that kind of player around. He's obviously making a lot of money, et cetera, but I don't think he's going to be playing more than this. But it's definitely nice to have that insurance policy when Young does not have it, because he didn't have it in this game, to have Jeremy Lin come in and play well and kind of keep the Hawks, help to keep the Hawks afloat in a game that they actually had a chance to win in the fourth quarter, at least, you know, briefly. So shout out to Jeremy Lin for a nice game that he played in this game. So that'll be it for the probably rant-worthy portion of this podcast. I know I probably did a little bit more than I normally do, but I think it's almost worse when I don't watch the game live and I'm still getting tweets from people that kind of rile me up a little bit. So shouts to everybody that interacts on Twitter. I always appreciate it. As long as it's respectful, I'm definitely cool with that. And hopefully you guys, even when we disagree, definitely there's people that disagree with me on stuff, and that's fine. As long as it's cordial and I think intelligent, it's very, very fun for me, honestly, to talk about basketball. So please keep doing that, whether it be positive or negative. I'm always up for criticism. And if I'm wrong, I try to admit it. And if I'm not wrong, then I won't, but it's one of those things where we'll come back and forth and we'll have fun and we'll talk about this team. This is a positive game, I think, on the whole, for the Hawks to only lose by 8. I know that's a bad moral victory kind of thing in NBA circles, but honestly, they looked winded in the second half. They sort of ran out of gas a little bit, and that's something I probably should have said earlier on this podcast, but it's not a surprise ever that on a 4-game road trip that has big travel going from coast to coast back to Indiana in this game. I know there were days off, no back-to-backs, but still, it's kind of a tough grind. They put a little bit earlier. This was a 7 o'clock tip. They ran out of gas in this game in the second half. So you know, not a big shock. And honestly, it'll be interesting to see how they play on Monday, as the Hawks are now back at home against the Clippers on Monday evening. There's often NBA teams that really struggle on that first game home after a long road trip, which might sound funny because you've just come home and rested, but often teams have a hard time, especially in the first halves of those games, getting back up and getting back on the grind. Maybe the Hawks as a young team won't have that problem, but we'll see how they fare against a Clippers team that's playing very well right now. So we'll see how that looks on Monday evening. Between now and then, we'll hopefully have another podcast. The drops Monday morning. Please be patient with me on that. I'm still dealing with some family stuff over the weekend, but if nothing else, you'll have this podcast to chomp on. Please subscribe to the pod. I really appreciate everyone that's already done that. Thank you for listening, as always, and we'll see you guys later on.